we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family and your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to focus in on our Sunday school. So go get your Bible, go get your Sunday school book, and study along with us today as we study our Sunday school. Now, the last 2 weeks, this Sunday and last Sunday, we was looking at marriage. Last week, we looked at how there was a covenant in marriage. There was a covenant in marriage. A covenant to marry was the exact title. A covenant to marry. And today, we're looking at a covenant of love. A covenant of love. And again, we're going to be studying about marriage. You know, I've been trying to encourage people at my church to come to Sunday school. Because it's there in Sunday school that you learn about not only the Bible, but you learn how to live life. You got to learn how to work it out, work out these things. And we're looking at marriage out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33, a great chapter in marriage. If you don't know nothing else about marriage, or where to turn to in the Bible to try to find out about a marriage, turn to Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. And it reads like this, Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particularly so love his wife, even as himself, and wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts today in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right. This morning, our lesson is entitled, A Covenant of Love. A Covenant of Love. This is August 25th. And a matter of fact, this is our last lesson of this educational year. This is the last lesson of the educational year. And our educational year went from September of 2018 through August of 2019. And so this is the last Sunday. God has brought us a mighty long way. All right. And so we're looking here at Ephesians chapter 5. All right. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 is a chapter that focuses on us imitating Christ. It's focused on us imitating Christ. Matter of fact, verse number 1 is the key verse. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And we're looking at this book of Ephesians. And in this book of Ephesians, you have the first three chapters that focus in on, for the most part, Bible doctrine. It focuses on, like, us being saved. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, for the most part, focus on us being saved. Chapter 3 focus on the church, how the church at one time was a mystery concealed, but now it is being revealed. And then when you come to chapter 4, from chapter 4 to chapter 6, it focuses on the practical aspect of the Christian life. And when you look at chapter 4, it more or less deals with the church family and how we need to get along with one another as the body of Christ. And he talks about how God then gave gifted men like apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he tells us about a new way of thinking as you continue to keep reading in chapter 4, like he tells us, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And so he deals with a lot of good things. That was verse 26 of chapter 4. And verse 27 said, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. And so it's just some practical living things that Paul focused on. But when he come to chapter 5, he's focusing now on the husband and wife relationship. But before you even get to that relationship in verse number 22, you got to look at those first 21 verses. Those first 21 verses is really what you need to focus on. because he gives some powerful things. See, you never will be able to carry out the last part of Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 until you have done Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 21. Yeah, because like in verse 1 and 2, he talks about follow Christ in love. Verse number 3, he talks about avoid all immorality. Verse 4 and 5, he talks about how you ought to talk. Refrain from obscene language. Obscene language. And then verses 6 and 7, don't follow, don't allow others to deceive you. Then in verses 8 and 9, and then verses 11 through 14, he talks about walking in the light. And then verse number 10, and also verse 17, he talks about seek God's will and do it. And then verse number 15 and 16, he says use every opportunity for doing good. And then here's the key, verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, marriage is all about being filled with the Spirit. Listen, marriage, number one, is for Christian people. Yeah, marriage is not for unbelievers, it's for believers. Yeah, when was Adam and Eve married? Were they married? Did God marry them before they bit off the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did God marry them after they had bit off the tree of knowledge of good and evil? God had married Adam and Eve before. So, in other words, that's a picture of a believer's marriage. That's a picture of a believer's marriage. It was when they was walking in faith, when they was walking in love, when they was focused on God. God didn't marry them after they fell into sin. He had married them before they fell into sin. He had married them when they was walking in the Spirit, not when they was walking in the lust. Yeah, and so if you're going to really get married, number one, you got to be filled with the Spirit. See, most of the time, the reason that most marriages don't work is one is saved and one is not saved. Or both of them are not saved. One is growing and one is filled with the Spirit, but the other one is not filled with the Spirit. So the key to a successful marriage is you got to be filled with the Spirit. Because, see, if you feel with the Spirit and your marriage partner is not filled with the Spirit, listen, you can stay in that marriage. You can still stay in that marriage. Why is that? Because you got the power to stay even when things ain't right. Yeah, yeah. Things don't have to be right for you to stay. Because, see, you feel with the Spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then it's going to be hard for you to stay in a marriage. And so that's what he talks about in verse 18. And then he talks about how even use music to encourage each other in worship. That's what he's talking about in verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And be thankful in all things, submitting yourself one unto the another in the fear of God. Now, he said all of that before he ever even started telling the wife what she's supposed to do and the husband what they're supposed to do. So you got a lot of homework you got to do before you even start trying to address your marriage problem. You got to get right with God. There's 21 things that you got to do first before you can even start working on your marriage. You got to work on you first. There's 21 things, 21 verses that you got to work on before you even try to work on your marriage. All right. Now, Look here at the text. He first of all deals with the wife. The wives are to submit to their own husband as the church submit to Christ. Look what it says in verse 21. He says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Now, really, that goes with verse number 20 and 19. Actually, I group verses 18 through 21 together. Yeah, because that is just dealing with living together in the body of Christ, that we need to submit ourselves one unto another in the fear of God. Yeah. In order for the church to function, we're going to have to submit to one another in the fear of God. Yeah. We have to submit to whoever. We have to submit to our teachers, our preachers. We have to submit to the authorities in the church in the fear of God. Have to submit to our mothers and fathers. We have to submit to them. Have to submit to our boss, and he's going to talk about that over in chapter 6. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, let me say it again. Everything after verse number 21 is dependent upon you being filled with the Spirit. You can't, a wife can't submit to her husband. The husband can't love his wife. Children can't obey their parents. Servants can't submit to their bosses. You won't win the spiritual battle unless you feel with the Spirit of God. So verse 18 is really the key to your Christian life. Now, look at verse 22. Wives, submitting yourselves to unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, let's deal with this word submitting, because we done seen it twice. Submitting in verse number 21, and then in verse 22, it says submit. Submit. That word is a military word that comes out of the Romans government, the Romans army. And when the Roman sergeant would say submit, everybody would fall in line. That was his way of saying, get in line. Line up under proper ordained authority. Fall in line. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's trying to bring law and order to a home. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Now, why did he say as unto the Lord? Because in every culture, wives submit unto their own husband in every culture. But it's not in a loving way a lot of times. It's often in an abusive relationship. But you're going to find out here that Paul is not talking to an abusive relationship or about an abusive relationship. Paul says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. It's about the Lord. Do it for the Lord's sake. Yeah. Don't do it because you just want to do it. The pastor done asked me to do this, so I'm gonna go and do the right thing, cause pastor, and all due respect to the pastor, No. You do it because God asked you to do it, and so you're doing this as unto the Lord. It's just like God is asking you to do it, and you're doing this for God's sake. You're doing this for Jesus' sake. Yeah, that's what this is all about. You're doing this for Jesus' sake. Because listen, only what you do for Christ is going to last. If you're not doing it for Jesus, then you're going to do it on good days. But then when your husband ain't acting right, then you're not going to want to submit. You're not going to want to submit. You need to do it for the Lord's sake. Get in line. Get in line. See, whenever a marriage done fell on hard times, done fell on the rocks, it's because somebody ain't in line. And most of the time, the wife done got out of line, or their husband don't know how to love his wife. It's normally one or two of those things. The wife done got way out of line and disrespecting her husband, or the husband don't know how to love his wife. And let's go on a little bit further, because you're going to see that in the next verse, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, as he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Now, let me bring out a couple of things here. The first thing, when he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, what is he talking about? He's saying the husband is the responsible party. Listen, when Adam and Eve sinned, who did God call? Who did God come after? Did God say, Eve, Eve, where art thou? No, he didn't say that, did he? He says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Why did he call Adam? Because Adam was the head of the family. He's the head of the family. Same way, husband, you the head of the family. When something go wrong, God is coming on you. He's coming to you. He's saying, hey, Jim, what's going on? Pete, what's going on? John, what's going on? Bob, what's going on? God is coming after the husband. The husband is the head of the wife, because God gave the husband authority over the family. Yeah. Keep in mind, God created Adam first, and God always recognized those that come first. And so he gave the man, because he was created first, the headship in the home. He's the responsible one. That's what that means. It don't mean bossmanship. It means headship. And headship is all about leadership. It's about, man, you stepping forth and lead your family. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. All right. Now, look at this thing from God's standpoint. From God's standpoint, he wants us to see that the husband is really then a picture of Jesus Christ. Yeah, for the husband is the head of the wife, even, see there, even as Christ is the head of the church. See, marriage is all about a picture. God is putting on an illustration. He want to use your marriage as an illustration between Christ and his church. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's what he want to do. Because in verse 23b, he says, and is the Savior of the body. And so what we see here then, the wife, they want you to, God is telling you to submit to your husband because you are a picture of the church. Verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. So do you see the picture? The husband is a picture of Christ. The wife is the picture of the church. And so that's why the wife must submit to her husband, because she's illustrating the submissiveness of Jesus' church that's being submitted unto Christ. All right. And so it has a lot more to think about than just you, husband, just you, wife. just trying to get your way. No, you are an illustration of something bigger between Christ and his church. Yes. Now, look, he had dealt with the wife responsibility. The wife, your job is to get in line. Line up under your husband. Let me back up a bit. Why did God just have to command? Because these are commands. This ain't an option. This is not a suggestion. When he says in verse 22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. That's a command. He's commanding you to do that. Why is that? Because that goes against the woman's nature. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, it talks about how the woman is going to be bucking against her husband for authority. So what we have is the battle of the sexes. And so God is telling the Christian wife, you submit. Don't get into this battle of the sexes. No, the husband is the head. God already done made a decision on who's going to be the head of the family. So don't buck him for that authority. Same way over here in verse 25. He tells the husband, love your wife. Wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So he tells the husband, love your wife. Now, why did he command? And again, this is not an option, husband. This is a command. Why did he command? He's commanding the husband to love your wives. Why is that? Because it goes against the man's nature to just love his wife. A man is a collector. He likes to collect things. He'll get him a car, but then the car won't satisfy him. He'll get him a motorcycle. The motorcycle won't satisfy him. But then he's going to get him a boat. Then the boat won't satisfy him. Then he's going to get him a different kind of motorcycle. He may get him a three-wheeler. But that won't satisfy him. Then he get him a four-wheeler. That won't satisfy him. Then he get him a truck, a big truck. But that won't satisfy him. Then he get him a four-wheeler. And that won't satisfy him. He constantly keep collecting things and getting things. And, you know, but he loves that car. He'll wash on that car. Oh, yeah. Whatever. He be waxing on the car. Then he washing and waxing on the boat and stuff like that. Until these things take up a lot of his time. And so God is saying, stop, husband, and take some time and love your wife. Now, that's how it is for the most part in our day and age. Now, back in the Bible days, it was a lot of kooky stuff going on as well. In the Roman Empire, men's was into homosexuality. And if you really wanted to love somebody, you get into some homosexuality. Even getting into loving little boys and stuff like that. And so you was really somebody if you had you a man. But Paul says, no, real love is between a husband and a wife. That's real love. Everything else is just lust. Yeah, everything else is lust. And so he goes on and he tells the husband to go on and love your wife, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. Now, look at this. He's showing in verse 25 how Christ died for his church. And so this is why this woman can submit unto her husband in everything. Everything. Now keep in mind that everything in verse 24 is everything pertaining unto the Lord. The wife is to do everything that the Lord would ask her to do. Now, she's not to do anything that's sinful. No. A man's authority begins with Christ, but it ends with Christ. Let me say that again. A man's authority in the home, it begins with Christ, and it ends with Christ. If ever a husband is asking his wife to do something that's sinful, do something illegal, do something that goes against God's moral law, then she don't have to do that. Because why is that? Because the husband authority begins with Christ and it ends with Christ. Same way here at the church. I'm the pastor here at the church. But my authority, it begins with Christ and it ends with Christ. I can only ask the people to do something that God would ask them to do. If I ever ask them to do something that God then asks them to do, then they don't have to do it. They don't have to submit to that. Why is that? Because I no longer have authority. I done lost my authority. God has only given me authority that begins with Christ and ends with Christ. It's, in other words, I can only ask the person to do what Christ would be asking them to do. All right, in the same way, a husband can only ask his wife to do something as Christ would ask them to do. All right, now, so again, let me say it again. I think I said it earlier, but let me be clear. Paul is not dealing with a dysfunctional relationship. Paul is not addressing a dysfunctional relationship. He's not telling the wife to submit to beatings of her husband, kicking around of her husband, abusiveness of her husband. That's why you have ads unto the Lord, ads unto the Lord. And then the husband, he got to love his wife even as Christ. It didn't just say, husband, love your wife, wives, and then that he might sanctify it and go on to verse. That phrase, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How did Jesus die for the church? So, husband, you need to love your wife in such a way that you are willing to die for her. And then you must live for her. Christ lived to make the church holy and clean. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So, husband, you got a lot of work to do in the home. See, you are the prophet in the home, you are the priest in the home, and you're the king in the home. You're king in the sense that you was willing to die for your wife. And then that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's being like a prophet. That's being the prophet. Verse 27, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. That's being the priestly work. You are presenting it unto the Lord. You want to present your wife unto the Lord. So ought men to love their wives even as Christ loved his own body, that he that loveth his wife loves himself. Now let me skip on over because my time done ran out. He says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and blood. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so there we go again. Verse 20, 32 is the key. The marriage is all about Christ and his church. He says in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particularly to love his wife, even as Christ himself, and see to it that the wife see that she reverence her husband. So that's the bottom line. If a marriage is having problem, 9 times out of 10, it's because their husband don't know how to love his wife, and the wife is not respecting her husband. And so, Rick Warren, he wrote a book. And right at the beginning of his book, I think it was The Purpose-Driven Life, he said, it's not about you. And that's what marriage is. It's about Christ and his church. It's bigger than just you. It's not about you. It's Christ and his church. So don't live for self, but use yourself to serve the Lord. Serve your husband. Serve your wife as unto the Lord. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner in the Situation Room.